Hi, everyone. Welcome to Inspire Nation, a daily show where we help you discover your inner passion, overcome life's greatest challenges, and to shine bright. I'm your host, Michael Sandler. Along with my wife and co-host, Jessica Lee, you'll get expert, heartfelt advice from leading authors, athletes, and doctors, along with spiritual masters, peaceful warriors, and beaming beacons of light. Plus, you'll find guided meditations to help you through your day and on your way from some of the top meditation experts and spiritual masters out there. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss a beat. Again, be sure to subscribe to the show. And if you like the show, please be sure to rate it and review it. Thanks so much. This greatly helps others find the show. To check out our schedule and get the latest advice, visit our website at InspireNationShow.com. That's InspireNationShow.com. Get ready to live your greatest life and to shine bright. Woohoo! If you like this interview, please do us a huge favor. Please rate and review our show. Ratings help our rankings and help people to find the show. This means they can enjoy the same interviews that you do. Your ratings make a huge difference, so please rate and review our show. Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Michael Sandler here, your host on Inspire Nation. Tis the season now for shopping, parties, family, loved ones, and sometimes long lines, unhappy campers, and sometimes overwhelming stress. If this sounds like your life right now, don't worry, you're not alone, but do we have the show for you. Today, we'll be talking with mindfulness expert and podcaster Bruce Langford, who has the Mindfulness Mode podcast and co-authored a chapter of The Success Code with Brian Tracy. We'll talk about breathing into your days, staying in the now, and how you can use mindfulness to move past the chaos and stress this time of the year often brings. Plus, we'll talk a bit about bullying, what really happened to Rudolph, and how Santa stood up for his elves. Well, welcome to the show, Bruce. Are you ready to shine?
Hey, Michael, I am so filled with sunshine and ready to share it. Absolutely.
Woohoo!
Yay!
All right, before we dive into things, are you staying sane this holiday season?
I am. I'm feeling great, better than ever.
And I notice you're here talking with me instead of out in the holiday lines.
Absolutely. And I'm very glad to be doing that. It's a beautiful day, and I'm glad to look out my window and see nature and just feel relaxed and awesome.
Oh, did you get out for a hike or walk or anything today?
I did not. I had somebody here doing work and I had to be here with them, but I will later.
Oh, beautiful. And I know Jessica and I, we got out this morning. We throw ourselves out each morning, and I'm still barefoot this time of the year, and it's just about freezing on the ground now. So the toes are getting a little bit.
Yes, and we have snow here, so your toes would be real cold here.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and it'll be heading our way eventually, but since we've been the last 4 years on Maui, I am ever so thankful it hasn't reached us yet.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's start at the beginning of things, because you've really dove down the rabbit hole when it's come to mindfulness. How did you come to mindfulness, though?
I came to mindfulness because I was doing many, many, many presentations on bullying, interacting with kids and adults on this topic, helping them with just coaching and mentoring. And more and more and more, I realized that if I could share ideas and tips about mindfulness, how we could all be more mindful, then bullying will decrease. And it will decrease because, I mean, what is bullying? Bullying is when we take on, we react to things, and we get dwelling on the past, and we get dwelling on the future and what we think might happen. And so, you know, if we can really truly live in the now, and if we can really honestly just take a deep breath and be happy now, then you know what? Bullying will decrease with all of us.
So now, have you done like over 1,600 talks nationwide on this?
Yes, I have. I started in 2003 and I just haven't really let up. I just absolutely love getting out there and sharing the word about bullying, about respect, about cyberbullying, and just how to deal with some of these things and how to guard against getting caught up in this, caught up as a victim, because I think that's one of the things. You know, it's so easy to get pulled into it and you feel like you're a victim, and then you just get pulled deeper and deeper into it.
It's fascinating because we tend to have ideas come onto the show in clusters. And whether that's divine intervention, universe, coincidence, synchronicity, I'm not sure. I believe it's all of the above, actually. But we interviewed Robin Sharma a couple of days ago. His show will be coming out, I think, a few days before yours does. And he has this amazing book, The Leader Who Had No Title. Yes. And he talks about in it moving, the importance of moving from a victim mentality to a leadership mentality. And so this may be a great place to start on the mindfulness road, because it's something you've had to work with kids. How can mindfulness begin to shift us out of that victim role?
Well, it can, because once we start to identify what that means to be a victim, then we start to realize just a minute. No, I'm a strong, confident human being. That's what I really am. And I just need to allow that to still be who I am, instead of let that victimhood idea, that story, take over. And that's what it is. It's a story that we start to believe. We create it. We start to believe it. We start to replay it over and over and over again so that it becomes real. And what we need to do is remain powerful in the idea that we do have confidence and we do have strength.
I'm thinking back to when I was a kid, and I was the kid who got beat up a lot. And, I stopped taking the bus as, 7, 8 years of age, and I would run to and from school, which actually made me a darn good runner.
Yes, I guess.
So it turns out it was the best thing in the world. But something shifted in me. Probably, if I think back into it, in ninth grade drama, I started doing focus on the breath exercises for my drama program. And I never made that connection till now. But around that time, I started to disassociate myself from being kind of in a victim role. And I looked at something. It didn't go away overnight. It didn't even come close to that. Hey, Sandler, you turn your head, all of a sudden you've got, a fist in your jaw. It didn't go away overnight. And I really needed to work on my reaction skills. But I stopped identifying who other people saw me as from who I saw myself as.
Right. So important, so vital. And I'm so glad you shared that, Michael, because that's exactly what we have to do. We start identifying ourselves as the person that someone else thinks we are, or what we think that person thinks we are. And you're so right. You have to just take it back a notch and think, no, hey, just a minute, I don't have to do that.
Yeah, another one of these themes that keeps coming up in clusters, and we were discussing it briefly off air beforehand, is other people's opinions being none of our business.
Yes. Dr. Wayne Dyer first introduced that idea to me, and yeah, it's really true. And at first I was taken aback. I was like, what? What do you mean? Like, that sounds so strange. But then the more I thought about it, and the more I kind of listened and studied Wayne Dyer and what he has to say on this topic, it really is powerful and it really is right on.
Yeah. And I think for some reason, I'm thinking about sharing during the holiday season on like Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. And we don't really have to go down the cyberbullying road, but there's a term that's been out there in recent years that never existed when you or I grew up, which is haters.
Yes.
And so I think we even get gun shy of sharing the good stuff in our lives because we're scared of what the haters are going to say.
It's easy to be scared. It's easy to have that fear. It's just always on the edge. And, you know, we can let that fear, take over and take control of us, or we can just say, no, that's false evidence. Yep. That's false evidence appearing real. I'm not letting that happen. But man, it's tricky. It sneaks in there, doesn't it, Michael?
It does. Conversely, I had a guest at some point earlier this week as well. Michelle Gill. Zealand, who is also going to be on the show this week, talking about how it's the positive news stories. So the positive stories on Facebook that you share, those are the ones that go viral. The negative ones tend to die out. So we need to still put ourselves out there, share that positive, particularly this time of the year where it's so easy to want to share about the person who cut you off or stole the last cardigan in front of you.
Yeah. I just love to focus on being grateful. Mm-hmm. And I just firmly believe if I focus on being grateful almost all the time, which I tend to do, then it just squeezes out that other negative stuff. It just pushes the negative stuff aside because I do have so much to be grateful for. And I'm so grateful for my life and my family and just all those many things. And the fact that I'm close to nature and I can get out there and just be in it and drink it up. And like, there's just so many things that I can be grateful for. And I think that's true for almost all of us, really.
So have you made it a part of your daily habit, some part of your routine to bring gratitude into your day?
Well, yes, I have, but it's not just like, oh, it's 9 o'clock, so I'm going to be grateful now.
You know, gratitude what time.
I've just made it part of my life. Like, I just think about it all the time. I think about it. We you know, say a prayer of thanks every time we sit down to eat, and we have done that for years. But I just make it an ongoing part of my life every single day.
There's a big term that Timber Hawkeye, Buddhist boot camp, used. Actually, several guests again in the last week. Cognitive dissonance. Two opposing ideas cannot exist at the same place at the same time. And gratitude and fear cannot coexist. So yes. if you're in that place of fear right now, you're kind of balled up by what you need to get done. Your to-do list is way too long. There's not enough, quote unquote, not enough time. If you can get, like you're saying, go to that place of gratitude.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the places I first really, really experienced this was in this book by Hal Urban. Hal Urban wrote this book called Life's Greatest Lessons, and he has a chapter on gratitude in there. And I just absolutely resonated with what he said about being grateful. Because, I mean, I grew up in a Christian family, and we said, you know, grace before meals, and we were thankful. But then when I read this book and I really, really read and took in the ideas that he had about gratefulness, it really changed me, because I think it's so vital.
What did you get out of it that you didn't already understand?
I got out of it that if it's really, truly an inherent part of you, that's when it makes the difference. It doesn't make a difference just because you say, oh, wow, I'm grateful that I'm here today. I'm grateful for nature. You know, like, it can't be a superficial thing. It has to be really part of you. It has to be from within you. It just has to be part of your philosophy that you just have it there, whether you're awake, you're sleeping. It's just part of who you are.
So is that something that shifted? Reading this helped you shift this, or you started becoming more mindful, really catching yourself more, catching and growing this, kind of like cultivating a garden?
It was like that, yes. It was part of mindfulness. It was part of being mindful and just reminding myself every day that, hey, yeah, gratefulness is really the center of where I want to be.
Fascinating. I love it. So you've had on some really cool guests on your show that each one has had a very diverse, unique way of looking at things and a unique perspective on life. And so I'm wondering, it's hard to remember all of them off the top of your head at once, but I'm wondering, what are the most unique, maybe unique tip or two that you've learned from your guests?
Well, Kate Erickson was on today, and I just loved chatting with her. And she just talked so much about just your systems, like just reminding yourself, just a second, what am I doing right now? Could that be part of a system? Could that be part of a process that I just am able to repeat, instead of every day I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing the same thing again, and it's not really a system that I have, it's just something I'm doing. But instead, it could be something that I have implemented this thing, and it's just very, very easy to pull it off because it's part of a system that makes my business or my life run more effectively.
Now, that actually dovetails perfectly into what's going on this week in the world right now. So, because one of the things I found with coaching people is the times that people get most distressed, most uneasy, aren't the times when they're working their tails off 9 to 5 during the week. It's the holidays and the weekends when they don't know, A, what they're quote-unquote supposed to do, and right. B, they get to the end of the vacation, the end of the weekend, the end of that time, quote, off, and they go, what in the world did I do? Because they didn't have a system or a plan.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So important. And to just kind of be centered and have the right kind of plan. If your plan is simply a to-do list of a zillion things that you want to accomplish, and then you get to the end of it, and it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't accomplish 9 of those things on my to-do list. To me, that's not part of where we're going with this. That's not what works for me, at least, because then I just get discouraged that I didn't achieve those other 9 things.
I think we need to high five after every single one of those things that you got done. And let's throw in some more high fives, and I'm very serious about this, for any step forward that you took, even if it didn't get you to that thing that you were trying to do, accomplish by whatever. If you're moving forward, you should reward yourself for it, because that builds up the success gene, the confidence or the courage muscle, which we were talking about on today's show ourselves. It Yes. builds up that courage muscle in you.
Yes. And let's reduce that to-do list. Let's take off a lot of those things and rethink them and think, you know, do I really need to do all these things over the holidays? Because let's face it, the holidays are for relaxing. And, you know, let's get calm. Let's get feeling really good. And I'm not going to do that if I'm like going a zillion miles an hour trying to accomplish all these things on a list. Unless those things are things like, take a relaxing walk in nature. Things like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Something is telling me that, and I'm a huge supporter of the small ma and pa operations, but if you don't have that available to you, or if it's just a nightmare, that maybe you do want to do more of your shopping online, because people will appreciate you. They'll appreciate you as much if you have a card, or if you draw them out something, but you don't need to martyr yourself to make your loved ones happy, because that Absolutely. Doesn't actually make them happy.
No. Give time. Yeah. Give time Amen. To your loved ones. And that's the most valuable thing many times.
So can you think of another unique gift that you've gotten? Or unique gift. I love how I put that. Unique mindfulness tip that you've gotten.
Yes, from Zephan Blacksburg. He was one of the first people that I interviewed, and I was just so impressed with his story. When he was young and when he was in school, he was so strongly influenced by someone else who had been bullied, and it really affected him, and it affected him so much. He took it on, and he felt guilt, and he felt, you know, he was just pulled down by this. And you know what? That's a lesson that even though we can truly care from way deep down, we have to be careful that we understand that, you know what, it's one thing to care, but it's another thing to take it on as our own thing that we feel like we're responsible for what happened. And so taking on a responsibility like that is not a good thing usually. And so he went through a really tough time as a result of this, but came out the other side, able to give me advice and the world advice about how, you know, like help others, but don't take it on as a personal thing.
Does he have probably it's a whole book on this, but is there one central technique to help, I don't know if protect yourself is the right word, because we don't really want shields up, but so that we're not taking in the energy of others.
Right. Well, he's very much into mindfulness too, and he achieves his state of mindfulness through exercise, through rowing. He loves rowing and the water. And through just being out there on the water and rowing, and of course, breathing is a big part of it, then it really helps him to get to the place where he needs to be and not take on the world. So I think that's the message, you know, get out there, get exercise, get, you know, get breathing the way it really helps us to be more healthy. And all of these things can really help us to be a more centered person.
That kind of dovetails perfectly. We were talking off air again about maybe five key tips for helping us be more mindful and get through the holiday season. And number one, as probably it should be, you put on that list, was breathing. So
yes,
I wonder if you can talk to us a little bit more about the breath.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, so many people, including me for a long time, we don't realize that you need to breathe in through your nose, you know, and breathe out through your mouth. And it's just something that's the way the human body is designed to do. And, you know, I was listening to one of your interviews recently, and you know, the whole emphasis was, you know, hey, the nose is designed for breathing, the mouth is designed for eating, and, you know, this kind of thing. And I really appreciate that. So breathe in through your nose, and you know, I like to do 3-3-7, and that's breathing in with three counts, just three slow counts. 1, 2, 3, and then just pausing for three, and just let it be there. And then slowly let the air out for 7 beats.
Let's do that twice. And everybody who, whether you're driving down the road, make sure you're still paying attention to the cars or whatever you're doing. Just go through this breath with us twice and see how it makes you feel. So go for it.
Okay, here we go. Get ready to breathe in through your nose for three. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Just relax and hold it. 1, 2, 3, and let it out for 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then let's do it again. Fill up. 1, 2, 3. Relax. 1, 2, 3. Let it out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Ah.
And you can change it up for yourself if you find, you know, it's not exactly perfect for you. And the thing is, don't beat yourself up if you're, oh my gosh, I needed only 6 to let it out or whatever. That's one of the big things, is that we just have to, you know, not be so hard on ourselves. Just do the thing and let it happen. And, you know, just deep breathing in through the nose is just so powerful. It detoxifies our body, and it's just a great, powerful thing to do.
So that's an easy one. You can do that. You can do that in line at the stores. You can do it in traffic. You also talk about mantras and the importance of mantras. And I wonder if you have a favorite or two that you like to use.
Yes, I do. I do have a favorite. I just love to be grateful in my mantras. And, you know, I am very, very much impressed by Bob Proctor, and he talks about mantras, and his mantras are quite famous.
Oh, I'm going to have to ask him. We have him on in a few weeks. I will ask him about them.
Oh, ask him. Yeah, because he is just awesome with mantras. And one of his mantras is, I am so happy and grateful now that each day is filled with inspiration, joy, and new opportunities. So what a great mantra for this season.
Can you repeat that one more time a little bit more slowly? I want us to soak this one in.
Absolutely. I am so happy and grateful now that each day is filled with inspiration, joy, and new opportunities.
Woohoo!
Woohoo is right. Yeah. So fantastic. He really has inspired me. And so I like to just do a short mantra that, you know, I don't have to stop thinking, oh, just a second, did I forget half of that halfway through? I like them to be simple sometimes. And so I just like to have a mantra something like this. Let me see here. I am so happy and grateful that I am strong and empowered. I am so happy and grateful that I am strong and empowered. I am so happy and grateful that I am strong and empowered. And that truly makes me feel strong and empowered.
I can feel the energy shift as you're doing that. You're becoming much more like an oak as you're saying it. You're getting stronger. You're getting more rooted. You're getting your Arnold. You're pumping up. And I think that is the power of a mantra. And is so incredibly powerful. I was telling you again earlier, last night was one of those occasional late nights, really late night. You know, you're going till 1 a.m. trying to get stuff uploaded. And I had to be back up before 4:30 a.m. And I would go from a long mantra earlier in the evening to get my mantra shorter and shorter and shorter to where it was just a few words that I was actually programming myself as I go to sleep. And that's actually going to be a meditation. Probably tonight's meditation is coming up, which is as simple as two words, or you could say the word and in between, relax and love. Relax, love. Relax, love. And you just keep repeating those two words, and you're just, in the most beautiful way, you could either say you're plugging in or you're brainwashing yourself. And brainwashing yourself is fine, because I did that at 1 o'clock, and I'm going, relax, love, relax, love, relax, love. When I woke up at 4:15, I'm saying, relax, love, relax, love. And so my cortisol levels aren't up because I needed to get up at that point. I'm still in a place of relax and literally still in a place of love. Now, maybe my body will figure out later on that I duped it. But it helps ground me to that state.
Right. The power of words. It's just incredible. And, you know, just two simple words like that can just really change where you are right away. It's amazing.
So let's say that you're out there and things are going crazy around you. And I like to call it, with mindfulness, being in the eye of the storm. And so how do you bring yourself in that time when the world is going crazy around you, that you can be in that centered place where all the winds may blow around you, but the sun is shining up above and it's perfectly still wherever you're at?
Wherever I am, I just take a moment and I do those breaths we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And I just do a mantra just like we talked about. And I just block out everything else, every other thought. And I just find myself relaxed, refreshed, and empowered right there.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Dive into exercise for a minute and the importance in helping us stay grounded here.
Exercise, you know, it's so easy to think, oh, exercise, you know, like it's something I have to do.
The pill I have to take.
You know? But if we can pair exercise with all the good stuff, like, hey, I get to go outside and be on the path through the woods or wherever it is that I'm going to do it, and it's like a positive, that's part of the key. Make sure that it's a positive in your mind so you're feeling good about it before you even get there. You're looking forward to it, because it's just unbelievable, you know, all the chemicals that are released in our bodies, the endorphins that just change our state as soon as we jump up, as soon as we get active, as soon as, you know, I could step outside of my studio here and do jumping jacks or something, I'd be like, man, I feel amazing. This is great. It's just one of those things that you get your body moving and you feel fantastic, but you have to believe it.
It's a key point. And for me, what I found is, in your darkest, roughest moments, whatever those may be or may look like, kick yourself outside and get the body moving. I don't care if that's walk down the street to get a newspaper, which may not be the most positive thing to read, but just get down there, maybe get a pack of gum, something.
Yes.
But just get yourself outside and moving. And that frenzy that's going, that little monkey that's really going crazy in her mind, he's on his bicycle, or actually maybe he's off the bicycle and he's grabbing things off of the shelf and throwing them around in your mind.
Calms the heck down. It's so important to get out there and just get moving. And, you know, if you've got that as a routine, you've got it made, because, you know, you get that going for a month or so, and it's just a routine. It's just something you do, and it's something that makes you feel better, and you know it does, and you believe it does, then you've got it made. You're on a roll. But if you're one of those people that are, you know, oh, yeah, well, I probably should exercise, but I haven't gotten started. I don't know how to get started. And you're just playing this mental game with yourself, and you're telling yourself stories. Don't tell yourself stories. Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, and I think the most important reason isn't the reason we think about. We think about exercise to lose weight. We think about exercise to get healthy. We think about exercise for all the reasons the doctor told us.
Right.
But we may not think about exercise for the most important reason and the most immediate reason of all. It feels good.
really does.
And if you feel good, everything in your day is going to go better. Everything, every experience, every moment, every conversation, the cashier who all of a sudden says, oh, wait, I have this coupon that this last person left. I'd love you to have it. Why did you get it? Because you were just beaming, smiling, happy because you just exercised. You were moving.
Yeah, absolutely. A great feeling, great feeling. And you just have to do it. Get out there and don't hesitate. And don't say to yourself, oh, but I have to do this first. And I have to do that first. And I have to do something. No, just get out there and do it and do the other stuff whenever.
Yeah. And for, you know, it's getting pretty cold probably wherever almost all of our listeners at. And that's not technically true. We do have a bunch now in Australia, New Zealand, and in the Southern Hemisphere. So if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, it's getting colder right now. And there are times where you're like, well, I need to get my jacket, my that, the other thing. And the list goes on and on. And you get intimidated for it. Well, if you have to, just kick yourself out the door. Not quite stark naked. I don't want you dying on me. But but kick yourself out the door, even ill-prepared. Move for at least a few minutes. You got something in.
And then
head back inside and you can go, well, gee, that was fun. Maybe I'll put on my gloves and stuff and go back out. Or I've had enough. No mas for me. But at least you got moving.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes I just do my moving inside too. I love getting outside, but I have a total gym and I love to get on there. And it just makes me feel amazing just to get on there and get moving and get exercising. It's awesome.
And if you have okay coordination, don't do it if you don't. But if you at least have okay coordination, or if not, some good railings, it is amazing the number of exercises that you can come up to do with on a set of stairs, or even just a stair or two.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it gives you great exercise for sure.
So you can get moving. So going back to your guest and to your show real briefly one more time here, what is one thing that you've learned from any of your guests that you implement now on a regular basis and something you hadn't thought about doing before?
That's a great question. I think one of the things that I do is just stop and think, what am I doing right this second, and value it. You know, is this thing that I'm doing right now, is it a really important part of my day? Is it part of my plan? Is it something that's going to help me move my business forward? Is it something that's going to help me empower my relationship with my son or with my wife? You know, just what am I actually doing right now?
I love it. I love it. And that way you can also make the decision, as all great leaders do. Great leaders push away all the stuff that isn't working for them and focus only on that thing that is. And so you can grade it in the moment and go, wait, whoa, I got stuck in Facebook when really what I was trying to do.
Right. Well, when I talked with Pat Flynn, I got to tell you, like, I honestly believe that he makes every moment count. He writes every day, and he spends time with his child and with his wife, and he really makes sure he does that. And yet he has this business that's just rocking, and he interviews guests and he does so many things, but he's careful to make sure that what he's doing is really valuable at any given moment.
I think he was one of our inspirations with Smart Passive Income. He was one of our inspirations because he puts there right on his website, I don't have things perfect. It's never going to be perfect. Why? I'm busy with my family.
Yeah, he puts his family first. I just totally love that. I loved meeting him at Podcast Movement in Texas back in August. What a personable human being. Like someone that you just totally gives you the feeling that he cares about you. He wants to help you. He wants to share with you. And yeah, that whole thing, like, I'm not perfect. I've got fears. I've got, you know, challenges. And what can I do to help you with yours?
I think that leads right into another one of your tips that you had for this time of year, acceptance.
Acceptance, yeah. Dr. Wayne Dyer, you know, he's taught me so much and through the Tao Te Ching, and he's written the book about
change your thoughts, change your life. That's generally his premise.
And it just meant so much to me. And I have the audio of that, and I've listened to it hundreds of times. And one of the things that I really love the most is about embracing humanity and looking at other people as though they are a part of you. You know, I look at someone and I think, you know, she could be my sister. She could be my daughter. She could be my mother. She's somebody's daughter, you know, mm-hmm. and to just think of humanity that way and just think, hey, we're all part of one thing. We're not all a bunch of individuals running around here, kind of all going our own direction, doing our own thing, as much as we're all part of one. We're all part of the universe. And I just love that.
Speechless, because that is so, it's everything. And you can do that in meditation and realize that you are everyone and everyone is you. And then you can do as simply as driving down the road. I used to be a long time ago, a piss and vinegar cyclist. Yes. So, you know, if somebody cuts me off, we're talking 20 plus years ago, folks, they were going to get the mono-digital response and I was looking forward to it, you know, to let them know what I really thought. Right. And so I was looking for that trouble, looking for that way to prop myself up. And so I would get a lot of car horns. I would get a lot of the trouble I was looking for.
Yes.
Now, even if somebody were to cut me off, which is very rare, I'm like, oh, they're in a hurry. They have to get someplace. They probably didn't realize what's going on. The poor thing, and I'm not meaning this in a compassionate way, something's probably going on in their day and their week and their month and their year in their life. All I'm going to do is send them love, because all they were trying to do is get where they need to go, just like I need to get where I need to go. We're trying to do the same thing.
We are. We're all trying to survive. We're all trying to do our own thing, and we're all living our story. Oh, that person, she has a story. Oh, he has a story. I have a story. We're all just trying to work through our story and survive the best we can.
So let's talk about words of wisdom, because you have traveled a lot. You've spoken at schools all across the country. Doesn't necessarily have to be about bullying. It could be straight about mindfulness in this time of the year. But words of wisdom that you would give parents with kids, or parents to teach their kids.
Well, the number one thing is set the right kind of example. And so if you are doing these things we've talked about, you know, you're doing your breathing and exercise, and you're just kind of allowing these things to be part of your life, not that you're trying to force yourself to get this much exercise and force yourself to do breathing exercises, but you're allowing yourself to do these things that will make you feel amazing, then your children are going to, this is just going to rub off on them completely. And that is so empowering, because children, sadly, have so much anxiety. So many children these days they're just filled with anxiety. They're worried about things. They've got all this social media going on, you know, with their online presence and so on. And so as adults, we can really help them by being there, first of all, being there as much as possible, because, you know, I know it's not easy, but, you know, look at your life. Maybe you can make some changes to allow yourself to be with your children more.
And they probably want that over the present, even. Give me time with mom or dad, or time doing something cool, whatever that looks like.
I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. You know, we're out there, you know, trying to make enough money to buy all these things, and it's all great. Like, it's good intentions. Mm-hmm. But yes, our children want us to be there. They want us to share our lives with them. And I know my son just really appreciates just hanging out, just like, not that we're trying to accomplish something, not that we're trying to, you know, get through this checklist, but that we're just sitting around and just doing whatever. He loves that.
Woo! I'm thinking about being the model for our kids too. And there's a recent example I read in a book. I'm not sure if it was Beth Banning's book, Interviewed by God, or if it was a different book. It was about a woman who's in a store and her little child is starting to melt down before they get out of the store. And they've just got to get through the register. And so this woman is going, "It's going to be okay, Amy. It's going to be all right, Amy. We're going to be fine, Amy. We're just getting through the line, Amy. We're just about there, Amy. We've done it, Amy. Great job, Amy." And a woman comes up to her and says, "Wow, you did an amazing job with your child. Or you did an amazing job with Amy."
Yes.
And the woman turns to her and says, "Thank you so much, but I'm Amy."
I love that. That's fantastic.
You take care of yourself. Yes. And be the model. Let the oxygen mask come. It's so foreign in today's world. But if you bring calm to the party, yes, everybody else around you, your kids are looking at you. Why do they have fear? Well, if you're freaked out, they're going to freak out because yes, you're their world. If you find a way to take care of yourself and be a rock first, then even if they're spinning, like we were talking earlier about not taking ownership of it.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. And, you know, we can help our children be mindful just like that, just by learning about mindfulness ourselves first, because children just do this naturally. It's so easy for them because it's just part of children. And, you know, it's just awesome to have quiet time and just help them to understand that, you know what, we do. We need to allow our brains to quiet down. And how do we do that? Well, we do it with breath. We do it with mantras. We do it by just setting aside this space each day where we can just be really calm and just be really just giving our mind a complete break. And it's amazing how much difference it makes for the rest of the day. Right, Michael?
It does. And I'm thinking now, holiday season, a great commitment would be 30 days. 30 days build a habit, or that the studies are saying 66 days seems to be the magic number now. But sit down with your kids once a day, or if you can't once a day, then each weekend sit down with your kids Saturday and Sunday and have family quiet time where it's just like meditation. But you don't have to use the word meditation if that sounds like work.
Right.
But you could call it, 5 minute silent time, 5 minute breathing time, or call it some sort of a breathing game time or something. Whatever yes, it is, but take that time as a family to just connect with the breath and go quiet.
Yes. Absolutely. I love your expression, go quiet, because that's what we need to do. We Woo-hoo! Really do.
So going from the opposite side of going quiet, this is something you're really good at. Have you always had a sense of humor and a positive attitude? And how important is that to you?
It's very important. And yes, I've always had it. I've always had this really, really crazy, zany, silly side. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I don't know where it came from. But
your Buddhahood.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to be crazy. I wanted to be silly. I wanted to make up random names or make up random words and just be silly with them.
Our word is gazunga right now. People gazunga. Ask, how is the show doing? It's gone gazunga. And what's gazunga mean? It means it's gone gazunga.
Yeah, we don't need to define that. It's just what it is, gazunga.
Exactly.
And you know, it feels good to say stuff like that. And you know, everything doesn't have to be, you know, a special meaning and everything has to be perfect. It's just about like, just relax, just allow, and just have fun with life.
Mm-hmm. You look at the giant line, you look at everything and the person, they can't get their card out, or the thing has to be rerung up. They need to do another price check. If you can step back and just laugh at the insanity that's going on, like the little toddler that just ran over your foot now with a tricycle.
Ouch.
You're going, this is just nuts. nuts, but if you can laugh at how crazy and silly and beautiful and incredible and insignificant and everything, it all is wrapped around in this soup called life.
I just love being with kids because they just get that. Mm-hmm. They really do. Like, I was out Thursday and Friday in schools, and this eighth grader came up to me after, and he said, "I just want to shake your hand," he said, "because I really like your philosophy." And I mean, I thought, wow, from an eighth grader, you know, that's really interesting. And then he went on and talked a little bit about what he got out of my presentation and how much it resonated with him and so on. I thought, man, this is a really advanced kid. And yet he could really see what I was talking about. He knew exactly, you know, with the mindfulness and the focus on respect, he got it. And that makes me feel good too.
Woohoo! And it feels great for it to come back while other people's opinions are none of our business. Getting a kind word feels so good. And I don't think there's such a thing as giving away too many kind words. We all try to hold it in, to hoard it, because, yeah, you know, protect ourselves. But I think the more that you can give away that gratitude, give away those compliments, give away Michelle Geelan, who we'll have on this week, a former anchor with Katie Couric, who's a positive psychologist, she calls them lead-ins. If you can lead in with the positive with somebody, you shift the entire energy of everything.
Yes, you do. Yes. And isn't life all about that energy? You know, how we can get or allow ourselves to be pulled down so easily when in fact we can allow ourselves to be pulled up so easily. We just have to do it and remember to do it.
Give it all away.
Yes, right. Just give. Yeah. Give and be grateful.
Woohoo! So I hate to put you on the spot here, but I've got to ask, what would Santa do if one of his elves was bullied?
Well, Santa would, first of all, take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And he'd say, okay, just a second, we got to deal with this. And he'd find out the details. Mm-hmm. He'd figure out what is actually going on. And he'd talk to the reindeer and he'd find out and he'd jot down some notes and figure this out. And he would be a great listener when he did that. And so it's so easy to listen and not be a super listener. You know, you're just kind of half listening. He'd be a great listener and he would jot down things and then he would take action and he would do what needed to be done. So if he needed to go to one of the reindeer and sit down with him and say, okay, look, this is what has been reported to me and I need to talk to you about that. Now I'm all ears. You tell me what happened.
All ears, no pun intended.
And so, you know, you really have to take time to do these things rather than jump to conclusions. So I'm sure Santa would not jump to conclusions. He would be a great listener, and yet he would systematically go about finding out what's gone on. And then he would move forward by saying, okay, we're leaving this behind. We've dealt with it. We've talked about it. Now we're going to have some fun. We're going to move forward and life's going to be good.
Woohoo! So how do you think Santa empowered Rudolph? Because, I mean, if anybody got bullied, it was poor Rudolph.
Did. Well, he certainly empowered him because he gave him a job and he really made Rudolph feel amazing because of the job. And you know what? No matter how old your child is, they might be 2, they might be 22, doesn't matter. If you can help them to feel really good by giving them a job or giving them a compliment, giving them something, then like we all respond to something like that. And it's really great to just be able to think, okay, how can I make that person's day? And Santa does that all the time. But we can all do it, right, Michael?
Yeah, I think that'd be the greatest exercise in the world is to go around wherever we are, start in your own neighborhood. Heck, wave to all the people going down the street, which looks absolutely insane, but you'd be amazed at how quickly they start waving back and how much they crack a smile, even if it's an inner smile. If you just start putting that out there and trying to brighten people's day,
Absolutely.
It's
I've
awesome.
Got to start with happy by being happy now myself, and then I can spread it. Absolutely.
So that brings us to the question I love to ask everybody at the end, which is, what brings you the greatest happiness, or what I call the woohoo factor?
What brings me the greatest happiness is being with my son and my wife, just family time together and being out in nature. So I just love spending time with them, and whatever it is that they like to do, that we all like to do together, let's just do it and not worry about things, not be focused on, oh, you know, a phone call or my phone or, you know, texts coming in or anything like that. Put that phone aside and just really be focused on being happy with my family. That's what makes me tick.
Amen. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. So where can people go to find out more and to listen to your show?
They can go to mindfulnessmode.com, mindfulnessmode.com, and you can listen on iTunes or you can listen right there on my website. And it's just so exciting to be able to share all these different ideas with you, the listener. So yeah, tune in. And my website is standupnow.ca. That's my website where I share my anti-bullying and respect work that I do with people when I do keynote addresses and talks in the schools and all that kind of thing.
And we'll have all those links to all those on our website as well. So if you go to inspirenationshow.com, we'll drive them over to you as well. So any last words of wisdom or things you want to share with people?
Yeah, just embrace life, enjoy life, and get out there and spread the word about how much we can all have a great life by being mindful.
Woohoo! Well, thank you so much, Bruce, for being on the show. For everyone out there, this is Michael Sandler saying, be well, have fun, check out Mindfulness Mode, and protect those elf or the inner elf inside of each one of us. And above all else, shine bright. Woohoo!
Woohoo! Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. That was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe, like it, rate it, and review it, which helps more people find the show. Again, please be sure to subscribe and rate it and review it. Thanks so much. And be sure to sign up for our mailing list at inspirenationshow.com, where you'll find even more great interviews and information you won't find anywhere else. That's inspirenationshow.com. Be sure to check out our resources page too, where you'll find the books, products, websites, and resources that are mentioned on our show. And if you loved what you heard and found it helpful, please support the show. And here are four great ways. First, visit our website and check out our sponsors. Second, order a book through our website. Third, make a small donation with the donate link on our website. Fourth, click on the Amazon link at the bottom of our homepage. In this way, we get a small credit for each Amazon purchase you make. It doesn't cost you a thing, and it helps keep the show going. Last, tell your neighbors, tell your friends, and tell your dog or kitty cat to tune into our show. Thanks so much, and shine bright!